Hello and welcome back to Statway. As always, we are firstly joined by Ruben. Good afternoon, Ruben.
How are we doing, lads? Good to be back.
And again, we are joined by Mr. Chris with his lovely Marvel. Is that an hoodie that I see that you've got on there?
Yep, it's winter after all.
Yeah, this is true. We've got to be saving on our heating bills nowadays, I suppose, haven't we, somehow? So this week's show, it's a little bit different. So we're going to start, it's basically two parts. We've got the first part is about sacking season and a bit more merrily for some peak managers with their nice big payoffs over Christmas. We then talk about the La Liga title race. And then the second half of this podcast is a lovely quiz, which has got some facts and statistics of the Premier League. And Chris and Ruben will be going head to head in that for some sort of prize. We'll come up with that at the end. If you have any suggestions for a prize for the winner, leave them in the comments of YouTube. I'm thinking some sort of chocolate bar, even though celebration tubs are about half the size that they used to be and double the price. So we'll start off with, I think, the most poignant point of Wolves. Sacking Gary O'Neill and immediately seeming to know exactly who they want. The manager is obviously going to be a Portuguese man with Jorge Mendes, some whatever he does at Wolves. Mr. Vitor Pereira, who seems to have not been at a club longer than 18 months. We'll start with Chris. What are your thoughts on Mr. Pereira?
Yeah, he's not someone I immediately know. Not having more than 18 months experience with a club is definitely a concern, but your first job in the Premier League is going to get you a sacking on your CV, because for me, the bottom three is pretty much all done. I don't see any way out for any of them, really. Wolves seem to show more fight when the whistle's gone than when they are playing.
That's quite a good point.
I've never seen anything like what's going on at Wolves with these players right now.
It always reminds me of Newcastle Villa. How many years ago? We're talking probably about 15 years when Kieran Dyer and Lee Bowyer are fighting on the pitch.
that's another good one, yeah.
Football in this country seems to have just... I don't even know what script it's following anymore, because you've got Wolves are at it. West Ham were at it with Wolves. You've obviously got... While on the subject of West Ham, you've got what Kudus did against Tottenham, where no idea what happened there. The League Two lot will love us for mentioning this. Ian Holloway at Swindon at the weekend. No idea what's happened.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be getting that with Vitor, because like we say, he's not been there for longer than 18 months. In a way, Ruben, would you see this as I think his contract is rumoured to be about 18 months, so it may work nicely for him. Can you see him actually being at Wolves longer than the end of the season? Because his most games at a club is 117, and that was in China. Other than that, he was at Porto for 93, Fenerbahce for 61, Corinthians for 63. But other than that, he's not been at a club more than 35 games.
Yeah, I mean, it's not on it. Gary O'Neill, I like him. I think it was the right decision to make him go. He wasn't getting the results out of the players. I think he'd run out of answers. And I don't see how Vitor Pereira, I mean, I hadn't heard of the bloke, I must admit, or at least he wasn't a recognisable name. I don't see that he's the man to turn things around this season. So I think they're still going down. I think they'll be looking for a new manager come championship time next season.
That's my thoughts.
It's a really weird position as well, because this is last season when Wolves appointed Gary O'Neill, I said they'd go down.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't see Bournemouth going the direction they went in when they got rid of Gary O'Neill. And I didn't see Wolves going in that direction. But then when Wolves did head in that direction, I didn't see them immediately dropping worse than they were before. Because last season they finished over 20 points above the relegation zone.
Yeah.
They'd be lucky to even make 20 points this season.
I was really surprised of how many points they ended up with, because I thought they were a lot closer to the relegation battle. They're certainly towards the end of that last season. In the Prem, they'd won one, drawn one in the last eight. I mean, they'd had some tough games in the last eight, but it was just they looked a team that was ready to go down from last season. So it was surprised to see that they got 46 points.
They've always liked to do that towards the end of the season anyway, because I think it was the season before when they were in European contention. And so I remember going to that game. It was Wolves-Brighton. And it was pretty much whoever wins gets Europe. And Wolves were at home and got battered 4-0.
Yeah, it all kind of started after they lost to, they lost to someone in the FA Cup. I think it was Coventry. And that kind of capitulated their sort of season. But I do feel for O'Neill. Obviously, he came in after Lopetegui left. He immediately lost Mateus Nunes for 50 million quid, but they replaced him sort of with Cunha. And then this summer, he lost Kilman for 60 million quid. And you don't really see that being reinvested. Obviously, they've lost a lot of physicality from the backline. And Kilman, near enough, played every game for them last season. Craig Dawson's obviously now a year older and does love an own goal, as we... he offers that physicalness to their backline. But if you look at their backline, I think from when they played West Ham, it was Semedo, Totti, and I think it was Bueno. There's no physicality in there. Semedo can't defend. He's proven that when he played fullback, and now you're playing him right centre-back. He can't defend. Matt Doherty, who's their right wing-back, can't defend. Ait Nouri doesn't want to defend. He wants to go forward. So it's all a bit unbalanced. But if you look at their like players on paper, you think, oh, they're not going to be bottom three. They're going to be around 14th, 15th. But they haven't been. I can see why O'Neill, and then he kind of comes out in his press conferences, doesn't he, and just completely puts everything on the players, which probably doesn't help. And then, like you said earlier, Chris, the lack of discipline at the end of matches, stripping the captaincy from Lamina, giving it to Semedo, and then Cunha and Ait Nouri deciding to have a fight with each other after another defeat, which was a big defeat in the last minute against Ipswich.
What's even more bizarre is who scored the own goal in that game? Because I don't know if you've seen the own goal.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen the own goal. It is absolutely ridiculous. There's no communication there whatsoever. And he just seems to be daydreaming at the back as the rest of the defence do their jobs. Everyone's done their jobs perfectly, and then his incompetence has cost them the game in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, it just kind of sums up Wolves' season, really. Individual mistakes everywhere. And speaking of another team with individual mistakes, and I'll get onto why this frustrates me so much in a mo. But Southampton have 5 points from 16 games, are arguably one of the worst teams I've watched in the Premier League for a very long time. We're talking... we could be talking back to 2007 levels of bad. And I'll get onto why I'm really pissed off with Russell Martin in a mo. But I think we can all agree it was probably the right decision to let him go. Obviously, they got linked with Ivan Juric today. And we'll start with Ruben this time. Who would you like to see take over at Southampton?
Me and Chris have been speaking about this. I thought Rob Edwards had been doing well with Luton last year. I'm not sure where else they turn, but I do think they need to turn to someone who knows they're going to go down and has got that mental fortitude to then think ahead to bring them back up next season so they can put that plan in place. And I'd like to see him have another opportunity in the Prem. He managed to get the best out of what he could with Luton, with a really stylish brand of football, which is clearly what Southampton want to be playing, because they've been doing that to their detriment all season. Like, they've been playing really good-looking football for as far as they could get up the pitch before the odd mistake, and then they just get capitalised on against. I'd be interested by him. I don't know how you feel, Chris.
So, yeah, I mean, Southampton's a really strange one, because I've said it to you. I said it to you Sunday, actually. 5-0 down in that second half, they didn't look like a team 5-0 down. For me, they show a lot more fight than Wolves. I think a lot of the case of what's happened there is how young the team is. They've got a lot of young breakout stars in the team. Tyler Dibling especially looks absolutely astounding, which I don't know if you saw before he got sacked. Martin laughed off the United bid that United were looking at him. I think United were apparently getting a bid 21 million, and Martin basically said that won't even get you his left foot. which would be even better if he was right-footed. I'm not sure which foot he uses, but if he was right-footed, that would be even better.
He's left-footed.
But for managers that have been linked, none of them even stand out to me as someone who's going to get you out of the championship. I know Ruben said Rob Edwards, but he's gone down with Luton. And Luton, the only teams who've lost the same amount of games as them in the championship are the teams in the bottom three.
Yeah, I understand that.
They've lost 10 games. I think they're in 16th. And yeah, the only three teams of the bottom three who've lost 10 games. Carlos Corbrand's another name linked, but again, he's in the playoffs with a team. He's somehow got West Brom in the playoffs with 10 draws this season. I think it was nine draws out of 10 games at one point, wasn't it?
Yep.
How he's kept that team in the playoffs. I don't know if that speaks levels for the teams chasing the playoffs or what. But some of the stats you see nowadays are ridiculous. Tottenham in 10th with a plus 17 goal difference.
It's a very good point. I like that you mentioned Tyler Dibling and the quality that Tyler Dibling offers, because he's probably the only player in that Southampton team that I've looked at this year and gone, at least you seem to be able to ball carry and not just pass the ball off. He's got 2.13 successful dribbles per 90, and he's really strong in the duel as well, winning 7.16 duels per 90 minutes as well. So I think I like that you've picked him out mainly, especially considering he's only 18 as well, standout in a team that's fighting for their life. Well, I would say fighting, struggling in the Premier League. And one thing that annoys me about Russell Martin, and I've mentioned it before, it's the same with what Vincent Kompany did at Burnley. I fully respect managers have philosophies and principles in a way of playing football. But to get the best out of Southampton this year, the best way to keep them up is to change your philosophy just a little bit and go a bit more direct. Put the balls in channels. They've got pace in the front line. Dibling, Armstrong, both can run. So put the balls in the channels, let them chase, maybe force a mistake, get up the pitch. But they're so adamant that they have to play out the back. And you've got players, like you said, who are not experienced in the Premier League and they're still young and they will make mistakes. They've got the most errors leading to goals at this stage of the season of any Premier League club ever. Why not change? Why not change your philosophy a little bit? Go a bit more direct in certain games. But they're so adamant that it must play out from the back. And it's to their own detriment. And that is only to make Russell Martin more appealing to other clubs to go, oh, yes, I have this philosophy and a way of playing. My fullback comes into midfield. My winger ends up on the... Well, my centre mid ends up on the right wing position. My other striker ends up in the centre mid position. No, I don't. I just don't like that. You're not doing the best for the football club that employs you. You are doing the best for yourself. Exactly like Kompany did at Burnley. That Burnley team, I actually thought could have stayed up last year. Yes, they bought a lot of players. He just had to tweak the way he played, but he didn't. And now he's ended up at Bayern Munich because he plays attractive football. And I mean, Bayern Munich haven't pulled up any trees this year other than one probably result in the Champions League. The title race in the Bundesliga is actually quite interesting. That is my big rant on Russell Martin.
I'm glad you brought up Kompany because, first off, that is a case of falling upwards.
Mm.
To the highest degree.
If we're going off this, Russell Martin's going to be the next Barcelona manager because he plays tippy-tappy football.
I just don't understand when these managers coming up are going to learn. You can play that in the Championship, yes. But when you come up to the Premier League, you can't just go at a team like Man City. To a degree, you can't because... you see it with a lot. Chelsea and Arsenal can't really play against teams who sit back. Everton got a 0-0 draw because no one left their box, pretty much. The stats from our game at the weekend are absurd. I think we had nearly 80% of the ball. Chelsea and Arsenal have just never been able to play against teams who just sit back. And then you've got teams like Man City, who I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just a case of they're used to having the ball so often that when a team has the ball and goes at them, their defenders just don't know what to do. Because it's almost like these defenders just freeze because they're so used to being the staple, pulling it together at the back, playing it round and keeping possession of the ball, that once the other team have the ball and are just charging at them with the ball, they freeze and don't know what to do. And it leads to a lot of goals.
Yeah, I think with City, I think it's a bigger topic for another day, but their recruitment's been so poor. So poor. They've got no legs in that team. Kyle Walker's legs have had it, and he's never been able to defend anyway. His recovery pace has got him out of danger a million times.
Selling Julian Alvarez was a massive mistake as well.
Agreed. I agree with that. I do agree with that.
Yeah. Not too sure. I think maybe they could have done better with getting someone in just in case Rodri was to get injured. Obviously, he has done, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I
never understood.
I didn't realise how bad the Haaland thing was, that it's 7 games out of 11 that he's not scored in now.
Good. That removes he is the best striker the Premier League has ever seen tag, which is good because football is so reactionary nowadays of, oh, he's got 7 goals in 7 games. He must be world class. No.
What were you saying, Ruben? Sorry.
I was going to think, like, I don't know how much Kovacic has played this season for City. I don't know if he's played a lot, but he doesn't seem... Whenever I've looked at the team, he doesn't seem to have been in it that much.
I think he's been injured.
I think he was meant to be their replacement or backup.
I actually think he got injured not long after Rodri.
Okay. That's clearly flown over my radar. So.
So moving on to a team that has... an injury problem of their own now is Barcelona. One win in 6 La Liga games now for Barcelona. Lamine Yamal picked up a sprained ankle at the weekend and is out for 3 to 4 weeks. The title race in La Liga, since we last spoke about La Liga about a month ago now, has rather got interesting. Atletico Madrid have decided that Simeone is now God and have won now on 5 in a row, have lost 1 game all season out of 17. Sit second place, level on points now, Barcelona in that game in hand. And Real Madrid are the point off Barcelona, but have 1 win in 3. As we've obviously seen the inconsistency of Real Madrid in the Champions League. But we'll start with Atletico Madrid and how impressive they have become. Chris, I want your title winner in La Liga now. We've got a 3-horse race, it seems.
I think it's Atletico's to lose now.
Okay. Simeone, I think, has won 2 titles there, and I don't think he's won one for about 5 years. So, but I can see why. They don't concede many. Only 11 conceded all season.
The trouble with Atletico is it feels like once you expect them to do something, that's when they go, nah, we don't want it, actually.
Okay. What about you, Ruben? Who is your... title
win? At the start of the season, I'm sure we had this on one of the podcasts, so very much behind Barcelona. What confuses me is not the manner of the defeats, but they've lost twice at home to teams that they shouldn't be losing to, Las Palmas and Leganes, or however you pronounce it, over the last 2 games. And that, to me, doesn't scream that I'm winning the title anymore. Obviously, they might shake it off, but I think it's going to go to Real Madrid at this point, and I think they'll grow into it and take confidence from the fact that Barcelona have dropped and really take the ball by the horns. So that's how I see it.
It's interesting Sam's mentioned Yamal's injury, because is it now becoming a cause for concern? Because that's the second ankle injury he's had this season.
Please. Barcelona are just killing youngsters.
It's a love story for Barcelona. The world-beating youngsters and injuries that hamper their potential. And it even follows them out of Barcelona, apparently, when you look at some of the players who've come to the Premier League from Barcelona. So I don't know if there's some sort of voodoo spell Barcelona have. There's a cult initiation or something that affects some of the players. I don't know what it is, but they definitely love this type of storyline with a youngster.
It's a good point what you make on Barcelona's youngsters, because obviously we had the situation with Pedri, didn't we, a couple of years ago, where he played about 75 games in a year. And when he went to the Olympics, I think it was, he looked ill. Like, I actually felt sorry for him. He looked ill. Yamal is 17 years old and has already played 72 games for Barcelona's senior side. And wow. That can't be really good because he's still technically, he's a growing lad still. And we've obviously spoken about the increase in games for footballers. It can't be good for these young players, I personally don't think, to play 150 games by the time you're 19, because you'll end up with people like, I'll use Rooney as a really good example, because Rooney burst onto the scene as a 17-year-old. And by about 30, 31, he's obviously was dwindling slowly out. But still a brilliant like passer of the football. You don't lose your technical attributes, but he couldn't move around a football pitch anymore. And that is my concern for these younger players like Pedri, like Yamal. They're going to get these little injuries while they're still growing, and they may not recover properly just because their body is still developing.
Yeah, I can definitely see him going down that track. Reminds me of Alan Smith back in the day. Like he was a brilliant footballer early on, and he just, unfortunately, injuries cut his season, well, cut his career short. It's a shame to see it go, but obviously they get the opportunity to be part of these teams at an early age, and I'm sure they would love nothing more than to be doing that rather than be waiting for another chance.
I've also just seen the fixture for this weekend.
It's Barcelona at Atletico.
Yes. Yeah, and obviously Barcelona still, they wanted their new stadium ready for this game, but it's not ready. They get that, I think, if my memory is correct, they get that for the game at the end of January. I can't remember who they're playing, but they get that.
Are we sure they could afford that one as well? Or
they'll sell blades of grass from the current stadium they're in to make this work. Don't worry about that.
So just to sort of further the narrative on Yamal a bit, since 2022, he's missed 97 days through six separate injuries. So it's his third injury this season. He had two last season. One was just a knock and one was a muscular problem. And he had one the season before, which is an unknown injury.
Oh, that's always good.
following another Barcelona left winger's track there with Neymar.
I think obviously Barcelona have injuries on other area of the pitch as well. They've obviously lost to Stegen, big player for them. The big problem is they brought Eric Garcia into their defence, and if you've watched Eric Garcia, I don't really know how he's at Barcelona. That about sums him up.
The strangest thing I find is, again, I'm glad you brought up the Ter Stegen injury, because they went through all this panic of, we have no goalkeeper, we have no goalkeeper, and brought in Wojciech Szczęsny out of desperation, who doesn't play.
That is such a Barcelona thing to do, though, isn't it? We've got no money. We've got no goalkeeper. What do? Right, we go and buy a goalkeeper. Oh, wait, we forgot about him. We've got a goalkeeper.
He's not played a game for Barcelona yet.
Yeah, that makes no sense at all. It's highly unlikely that you lose both senior goalkeepers. It's just Barcelona, isn't it? We may as well mention Real Madrid. Obviously, Chris, we'll let Chris take the reins of this one, because obviously he's got some things to say about a certain Frenchman at Real Madrid, or linked to Real Madrid, I should say.
Well, two. apparently Benzema's considering retirement, which would sort of see him head back to Real Madrid potentially as a sort of ambassador, which is essentially a marketing job. It's just a fancy way of telling players they're marketers. But I think that's that could help Mbappe if he was to retire, if he was to head back. I know we've seen the strange story of PSG wanting Mbappe back and paying for him in January. It would almost be genius from Real Madrid as well. But I don't see that happening at all.
Well, it would be a very PSG thing to do, though, wouldn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, definitely. But I don't see Mbappe wanting to go back.
No.
Unless Real Madrid are the team who fall out of the Champions League and PSG go through. But I don't see any way Mbappe leaves Madrid. It's obviously... not a nonsensical story. There's something there. PSG want him, yeah, but Mbappe I think he's done with PSG for good.
Well, they offered him like half of Paris, didn't they, to try and keep him, but he still said no, so...
I think a part of the problem was they gave him too much control at PSG as well. We all heard the rumours of how much influence he had, and I think it speaks more on personalities as well, because obviously we've always heard about Messi having that sort of similar control in teams. But it never seemed to affect anything around Messi. But if Benzema went back, sort of, Mbappe has a French icon from Real Madrid, French Real Madrid icon to sort of look up to. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize Mbappe has the worst penalty, I think he has the worst penalty conversion rate in La Liga now after missing two.
0%. Good.
I think he's missed 2 of 5.
Well, that just about sums up Real Madrid, doesn't it? How many penalties they get.
Yeah.
I watched a Spanish game a couple of weeks ago involving Real Madrid, and I couldn't believe some of the penalty decisions they get. It is so farcical. It's unbelievable.
There was... It seems to be a Spanish thing, because there was a game with, like, I think it was Girona and I can't remember who they were playing. There was 3 or 4 penalties in one Girona game.
That doesn't surprise me either. Spanish football is... When you get a good Spanish game, it's nuts. Like, honestly nuts. But yes, that is the La Liga title race. So, now we've got our own title to discuss here. Chris versus Ruben in the battle for... I need to get some sort of hat, don't I? I need to get a Quizmaster hat now. So, we've got 20 questions. And then we'll go through all the questions. You then can give me the answers you've got to each question, and then I shall give you the answer. 1 point for each correct answer. So, are we both ready for some shenanigans?
Let's have it.
Yep.
Right. So, question one is, which Premier League team has scored the most goals in a single season? This is for the Premier League only, not before, since the Premier League was founded. And I'll give you what, I think 15 seconds of questions fair. Others will be here all night.
I haven't got time out now.
So the question is, which Premier League team has scored the most goals in a single season? That is question one. If you're listening on YouTube, get involved. Write your questions down, answers down on a bit of paper, and then stick them in the comments section before I read the answers. And no cheating. If you get 20 out of 20, I know you probably cheated. So moving on to question two. Who holds the record for the most Premier League appearances? And I'll give you an extra bonus point if you get how many appearances they've made correct as well. So I'll give you the bonus point. And I'll also give you a bonus point on question one if you tell me how many goals. So there's 2 marks available for that one as well, if you get both of them correct.
This could get wildly bad.
Yeah.
Is the second person still active?
The controller has disconnected here.
I have an idea who it is, but I also think it's absolutely ridiculous.
This is the fun of this. This is a Statway quiz, this one. We've got facts and figures, so it lines up perfectly.
I feel like whoever it is, I've got mixed up with the most from another stat, but I'm not sure.
Question three is, which team has won the most Champions League titles? There's only one mark available for this one. I just need the team.
Cloud.
So that one should be quite easy. Question four is, which player has scored the most goals in Champions League history? That is question four. So there's a couple of answers you could probably give for this one, but I'd probably say, yeah, you're on the right lines. And then I can repeat any question you want at the end as well. The question five is, who is the youngest player to score a Premier League goal? That is question five. Yeah, one mark for this one as well. I'll give you 2 marks if you can tell me how many goals that player scored in the Champions League as well. That is question five. And then question six is, which team has the longest unbeaten run in Premier League history? And if you get that one, if you get the team, you get 1 point. And if you can tell me how many games it was, I'll give you another mark as well. I'm trying to be nice here so we don't get really low scores, by the way. question seven is, which manager has won the most Premier League titles? That is question seven. One mark available for this one. And then question eight is, which team has the highest points total in a Premier League season? And if you can tell me which season, I'll also give you a bonus point. I'll give you a clue. It's in the last decade, that one. Question nine is, which team has the best defensive record in Premier League history in terms of how many, who is the least goals conceded in a Premier League season? There's 1 point available for that one. The next one is, which player has won the most golden boots in the Premier League? Now, this one, I thought, when I saw the answer to this one, I was like, I didn't actually know the answer to this one. I thought it was somebody else. Let's put it that way. It's quite a... Yeah. Not the answer I expected in this one. Yeah, one mark available for that one.
Could have told you the goals conceded from question nine as well.
I've had a guess.
Unfortunately, I don't have that written down, which is... I probably should have done that. The next one is, which team has the longest winning streak in Premier League history?
It's winning.
Mm. And if you can tell me the season, I'll give you another mark. Yeah, that one's... Some of these questions are okay. Some of them are probably quite bad. The next one is, which team has the worst defensive record in Premier League history? That is the next question.
I'm hoping that's not Villa.
I'll tell you now, it's not Aston Villa, so you don't need to worry about that.
Should you be don't very need to worry. Recent. Wait, are you doing goal difference or just goals conceded there?
I've got worst defensive record. So I probably should have worded that question a bit better, shouldn't I? We will go off.
Both.
I'll go off goals conceded.
Okay, then it's recent.
So I'm going to just reword that question. Which player has the most assists in Premier League history?
Most assists, did you say? Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, most assists. There's one mark available for that one. And one mark available for the assists. The next one is, who is the oldest player to score a Premier League goal? One mark available for this one. Right, the next question is abroad. It's Premier League history. So it's since the Premier League started in 19-something. Which team has the most clean sheets in Premier League history? So that is not in a season. It's across every Premier League season. And if you can guess how many clean sheets, I'll give you another point. So...
It's a strange one because football just used to go mental and have like six frees all the time.
It did. It did. The next one is, which team has the highest average attendance in Premier League history?
Definitely not Man City.
Highest attendance.
Come with highest walkout, Southampton on Sunday.
Southampton will be a lot.
Oh, hold on. We're doing like old Premier League. Oh, no, it's not that old. Never mind.
So this question is also based on Premier League history. Which team has the most red cards in Premier League history since the Premier League started? So that's also one mark. And then the final three questions. Which player has the most yellow cards in Premier League history? For one mark. And then we have two questions remaining. Which team has the biggest goal difference in a Premier League season? And if you can tell me what the goal difference was, I'll give you another point. And then the final question is based on a Champions League final. What is the biggest winning margin in a Champions League final? And that will go from 1990 upwards to the modern day. 1990 to the modern day. What is the biggest winning margin in a Champions League final? And if you can give me the game, I will give you another mark. And then if you can give me the correct score, I'll give you another mark. So there's three marks available for the final question. So you can give me the year, the game, and the score. Is there any questions you want me to go back to? I know that was rather fast. Oh, we all happy.
Nah, if I get 5 points, I'll be happy.
You threw me off with question 18 now for another question.
Yeah, so I've obviously did this while I was at work, so I'm hoping all the answers are correct. I did this on a lunch break. I did double fact check all of these, so I'm hoping these are all correct. So I'm sure somebody in the comments will tell me otherwise if I'm wrong. So the answer to question one, which Premier League team has scored the most goals in a single season? We'll start with Chris. We'll go Chris and then Ruben for the answers.
Scored Man City.
That is 1 point, correct?
Yeah, no, I had Liverpool. I guessed 121, but yeah.
It was 106.
The only...
Oh, not even close.
The only 100-goal Premier League team. Funny enough, Ipswich did 100 goals same season in League One.
They did, yes. That is correct. Yeah, so... Right. Question two was, who holds the record for the most Premier League appearances? Chris?
I don't know why someone's leaning me towards Gareth Barry.
It's a good shout. James Milner?
It is Gareth Barry. It's a pasta.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
My guess was like 700 games.
I've got 653 written down.
Oh, I had 645 for the games.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not a bad guess at all.
Just the wrong player.
That's not bad at all.
I had 743 and 96 goals.
96 goals?
For Gareth Barry, bloody hell.
Question three is, which team has won the most Champions League titles?
Real Madrid. Oh, sorry, I meant to be in second. No, that's fine. Is it Real Madrid?
Yeah, Real Madrid. So one mark for that one. Which player has scored the most goals in Champions League history? There's two marks up for grabs here.
It's Cristiano Ronaldo.
I didn't even think about him, for fuck's sake. I'm down.
It is Cristiano Ronaldo. Do you know how many goals?
Is it 91?
I've got 147 written down.
Close enough.
Who is the youngest player to score a Premier League goal? One mark here.
Still Wayne Rooney?
No.
Is it not?
Oh, I went with Rooney. Yeah.
I got Michael Owen. 17 years, 149 days.
I'm pretty sure Rooney was 16.
Oh, have my stats let me down.
Yeah, it should be in the 16s, I thought.
Everton, Newcastle?
I kind of feel like Rooney's probably been surpassed by now, but I would have thought it was in the 16s.
Wayne Rooney's first Premier League goal. Why is it so difficult to find? No. Yeah, I do have Michael Owen 17 years, 149 days.
Rooney is 16 years, 360 days
old. Oh, thank you, brain. Right, yeah, Rooney. Have Mark.
You have the Champions League goals for Rooney now.
Oh, I actually did write that down because it was Rooney. I'm pretty sure it's like 55.
I'm miles off on how many goals are scored in the Champions League. I had 27.
I had a feeling like 55. He's on the top 10, I'm sure.
I kind of feel like Rooney's probably been surpassed as the youngest scorer now anyway. But
oh, thank you, Brain, for not even thinking of Wayne Rooney. And then when I literally checked it, it literally had Michael Owen. So thank you. Thank you, Google.
Hold up. I'm checking Rooney's Champions League goals first, because I'm sure it's 55.
I know he got, I think like 208 in the Premier League or something like that.
I'm sure Rooney is top 10.
I blame Google for everything that's wrong in this world. I fact checked.
Apparently, James Milner was younger than Rooney when he scored his first goal.
Really?
Yeah, James Vaughan, they've got 16 years, 270 days. James Vaughan.
Oh, that's really gone well, isn't it?
Youngest Premier League scorer in April 2005 when he scored the fourth goal in a 4-0 win for Everton against Crystal Palace.
I've done really well here.
But well, when Rooney scored, everyone banged on about he was the youngest scorer ever, and Milner was already.
Milner's came afterwards.
Was he?
Yeah.
I don't think
I thought Milner was older than Rooney, to be fair.
I thought Milner was older than Rooney.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to pass on the chase as a host now, am I? If I'm getting that wrong. My career dream has been ruined. But we've got to hope all the other answers are now right. I'm pretty sure they are. I can't have got more than one wrong.
Rooney scored 30 in the Champions League.
Oh, 27 weren't far off. I'll take that. Back in the game.
right, hopefully all these are correct then. Which team has the longest unbeaten run in Premier League history?
Arsenal, 49.
Okay.
City, 56.
I've got Arsenal, 49. Down.
I thought City had done it over the two seasons.
No, because that would be an invincible season.
No, over the two.
Oh, yeah, no, I get you. Yeah.
The next one is which manager has the most Premier League titles?
Sir Alex Ferguson.
It's 17. I don't know, roughly. I don't think we're doing points for that many anyway.
Not on that one. Which team has the highest Premier League point total in a Premier League season? 2 points for this one.
Manchester City, 21-22.
I've got the exact same. Oh, boom. Right, I need one more point and I'm happy.
Which team had the best defensive record in Premier League history?
Chelsea, 15 goals conceded.
Chelsea, but I went with 8. I don't
know how many. Yeah, well, only 1 point for that one anyway, but it was Chelsea. Yep. Okay. That is correct. Thank God the brain has actually worked on some of these. Which player has the most golden boots in the Premier League?
You threw me off, actually, when you said it surprised you, because I was halfway through writing Thierry Henry when you said that.
Oh.
Well, I thought it was Aguero.
Oh, see, I thought it was Kane.
I changed to Harry Kane when Sam said that.
Yeah, it is Harry Kane.
Oh, fuck's sake, Sam.
But I'm really not going to pass from the chase. The chase can't give stuff away.
How many has he had? Does he know? Is it 5?
3. I think he lost it a couple of times to Aguero when he got, like, I thought it was Haaland. Somebody got... Kane got 30 goals in a season and somebody else won it. Which team has the longest winning streak in Premier League history?
I didn't actually go recent here, so I feel like I'm wrong already. I wrote United
98-99. Okay.
I've gone Liverpool. It's one of my three answers of Liverpool, which I'm hoping one of them's right. 14, 22, 23. I don't know. Ring a bell.
I've got Manchester City 18 in 17-18. For that one. Which team has the worst record for goals conceded in the Premier League season?
Sheffield United.
Derby.
No, it was Derby up until last year.
Yeah, Sheffield United conceded 105.
No, 104. Yeah.
What was the goal difference? I put minus 89. No, we didn't concede, were we?
Yeah, I think their goal difference was like minus.
It was about minus 80-ish. Which player has the most assists in Premier League history? One point.
I wrote Lampard.
I was really struggling with this. I went with Gerrard.
Giggs, 162 assists. I've got for that one.
But who is the player?
Giggs.
Oh, Giggs, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Who is the oldest player to score a Premier League goal? Now, I've got to hope this one has been fact-checked and is correct. I hope.
You genuinely had me stumped with this, so I just wrote Teddy Sheringham.
See, I've read down Vardy because I literally was just, it was the only person I could think of.
No, it is Teddy Sheringham.
Oh. Yeah,
fair enough.
I just remember Teddy
Sheringham. 39 days.
Really? I thought it would have been into his 40s.
He went until he was
45.
Yeah, that's what I've got written down. I could be wrong. I have been wrong once already on this quiz, so it's gone well. I think one mistake in half, trying to do this in half an hour.
It is Sheringham, 40 and 268.
Yeah, cool. I don't mind getting that bit wrong, as long as I got the player right this time. Trying to do it in half. 20 questions in half an hour was good fun.
It was actually in his last game, Boxing Day 2006.
Good way to sign off.
Which team has the most clean sheets in Premier League history?
I just wrote United.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, it was. It's Man United.
Oh.
Did we have a point for how many, was it?
I think it's wrong. Let's put it that way. Because I've just checked
again. I guess 197.
Yeah, that's lower than the number I've got written down. Got 210 written down, but I think it's more than that now.
Ballpark. I'll take ballpark.
The next one is done that one. Biggest average attendance.
Again, I wrote United.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, it's correct. Average attendance 75,837. Which team has the most red cards in Premier League history?
I went out there and went Newcastle.
That is a rogue choice. I respect it.
Yeah. I've gone with ever-present Everton.
I've got my United written down again. They did have Roy Keane for a spell.
That's a good point. He probably got more red cards than with a whole Newcastle 11 combined.
And the final two questions. Which player has the most yellow cards? Oh, sorry, you three, yes. Which player has the most yellow cards in Premier League history for one?
Gareth Barry?
I feel like mine's probably really wrong, but Jamie Carragher.
Gareth Barry? 120 yellow cards, Gareth Barry got. Which team has the biggest goal difference in a Premier League season?
Man City, 21-22 again, isn't it?
I've gone with Liverpool.
I've got Manchester City written down. I'm just going to check 21-22 very quickly because I have 17-18 written down. So I am just going to double check the 21-22 season.
Right.
Very
good. No favours.
No. So the 21-22 season, Manchester City's goal difference was 73, and in 17-18 it was 79. So not far off. And then the final question, which is probably my favourite question of all of them: what is the biggest winning margin in a Champions League final for 3 marks?
I haven't got a year. I feel like it's in the 60s.
Be said from 90s onwards. My first thought was like Monaco, but I don't know if they. I don't think they made it to the final against Porto, didn't they? But I don't think I was thinking of their semi run that they did really well and got a high scorer. I've gone with Real Madrid, Dortmund. I don't know. I think it's like 3-1 or something. But
yeah, I haven't got a year. Didn't hear the 90s onwards, so I just wrote 4 goals.
Well, the margin, Chris, you've got correct.
Ah. Oh.
The margin is correct.
And I put 5-1.
No, that was wrong. So it's 4-0 in 93-94. AC Milan beat Barcelona 4-0.
Well.
So. One mistake, I will take one. There may have been some bits wrong with appearances and stuff, but on the whole, I think that went rather smoothly, other than
for half an hour is pretty good.
Other than James Vaughan and Michael Owen, and then Wayne Rooney all having the same argument. So I will take that. So if you have enjoyed the quiz, let us know in the comments if you want us to do more quizzes. We'll probably do another one towards the end of the season where we'll take stuff like XG and stuff like that into consideration. A bit more modern stuff throughout the season across Europe, which I think will be more to the flavour. We may even do it as a live stream to get everyone involved, which I think might be quite a good event.
Are we benchmarking the scores before we sign off?
Oh, yes.
I got 8, and I know I got trounced, but I got 8.
How many points did you get, Chris?
19.
19?
I've got some work to do for next time.
Well, I got all of them but one correct, so who's the real winner here? Well, if you have enjoyed, make sure you leave a like and subscribe to the channel for more Statway content. If you're on a podcasty platform, make sure you give us a follow, give us a 5-star rating if you want. And thank you all for listening. If we don't see you again before then, have a lovely Christmas, have a lovely New Year, and we'll hopefully see you on the next episode.